Blog Talk Radio.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. Fired!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Tonight, this Sunday, October 1st, 2017. I'm your host, Shabaka Sankara, along with the man, Dr. D, our co-host and producer, and I'm your executive producer. We're going to be speaking about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, of the derogatory comments of President Trump's stance that Colin Kaepernick is making. And it is very, very disturbing. It is a very disturbing message that Trump is projecting with this, is because you could tell by his speech and by his statements and his stance on it that he clearly has no regard for the innocent victims of police murders that has been happening throughout the nation in the last 3 to 4 years, that have been highly publicized on social media, that have been highly publicized in mainstream media as well, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call in at area code 646-564-9630 with your comments, questions, and concerns. And I'm Shabaka Sankara, your host and executive producer, coming to you from Olympia, Washington, tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, with the president stating this here as I'm continuing on, he is clearly supporting this collusion. He is clearly supporting this massive injustice and murder of black people. And looking at the history of a lot of these cases with Tamir Rice, Freddie Gray, Ezell Ford, none of these guys are being prosecuted for murder. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. So with the Trump creating the divide in the United States with his white supremacy rhetoric and his condoning of police murders of black people, he is not examining the reason why Kaepernick is protesting. And the sad part about it is, ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me that they would be more concerned about these murders as opposed to Colin Kaepernick not respecting the flag by kneeling down. Also, too, I want to give shout-outs to Mr. J. Dizzle over at Blackistan Radio, Mr. Keith Morris. Also, too, the whole staff at Blackistan Radio. And also, too, thank you for allowing me to be a part of Blackathon, which we did recently, in which we're helping a lot of our people down there going through the hurricane situation in the Texas area. Also, too, this is my opinion of the current political climate that is currently going on with Trump and his white supremacist rhetoric, also too with his incompetence as being the so-called commander-in-chief, is because also too, well, we're going to be commenting on what we heard that came out of Colorado Springs, Colorado recently about racial slurs being spread on the locker and dormitory room of a black Air Force cadet at Colorado Springs. So thanks to Commander in Chief for that one. Definitely look at our Facebook like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Please leave your comments, questions, and concerns there of any current events that are going on, any past history that you might know of the black experience, which is from the beginning of time to today. Also, too, I want to say to all you NFL owners, sports owners, and what have you, yes, I love boycotting you. Also, to advocate that the people who look at your shows, who pay for your overpriced advertisement of your BS, not to support you, and not to mention the fact that the NFL as a whole is not taking a position in regard to these police murders. And the sad part about it is that the personnel who produce your revenue, your money that fills your stadiums, are the players who happen to be 70% black. And then, in addition to, is that you have the audacity to sit up here and say that we are unpatriotic, we should leave America, and all other type of white supremacist rhetoric, diatribes, and garbage, basically, you know, I must say. And what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're about to bring in our co-host, the one and only Mad Dr. D, and our producer. And I'm coming to you from Olympia, Washington. Mad Dr. D, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, well, of course I'm here, man. You know, yeah, okay, well, anyway.
No, sometimes
okay,
I'm
yeah.
setting up. I know nobody can see me, hear me or not. All right.
Oh, yes, sir. We heard you loud and clear right there, and I guess you heard the opening there, Mad Dr. D. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, Mad Dr. D is the producer of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, who will be coming on a regular basis every Sunday at 6 p.m., like I said once before. Please look at our like page and what have you for our upcoming episodes. Okay, Mad Dr. D, what is your take on this? And then also, too, I want to comment on how a lot of the NFL players, you know, are taking this kneel as well, too. And then the jump is up here talking about that the NFL players should be fired, that the NFL owners need to fire these players and what have you. But I'm very, very happy to see is that the NFL is reporting is that they're starting to decrease attendance or attendees to their games, meaning people are not buying, you know, those highly overpriced tickets anyway. I myself, I've created a hashtag, boycott indefinitely, boycott the NFL, boycott the National Basketball Association, boycott Major League Baseball, is because with your commander-in-chief and your president making a statement that this son of a bitch should be fired and taken off the field goes to show once again that the dump administration does not have no regard for black life. What's your feel on that, man, Dr. D? Come on with it.
Well, you know, this idiot, he doesn't have any regard for anybody, if you ask me. I don't think he cares about himself. Now, as far as all these athletes, first of all, they should have been of a stand long time ago,
right.
And maybe some of this stuff wouldn't have happened. You know, a lot of lives would have been saved if they had started this 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know. Because they have the power, because the players had the power, you know.
Right. Because they're producing
the wealth.
Go ahead.
If they would have exercised their power, That sucker would never have been a president. You know. I think golf and boxing, they overpaid. And on the works. You know, they make mad money. So I don't think they care. But I don't think anybody give a damn anywhere it goes. As long as they get your money, they don't care. But now, they're kind of unified now. I want to see what are they going to do about it, because right now they're standing there and they're so-called protesting, but that didn't even turn into a protest anymore, because not everybody's going to do it.
Yeah, actually, what it's turned into is a circus, is because I saw up here on Twitter today, is that now you got these black players taking a knee, putting their hand over their heart. So it seems to me is that what they should do is follow the example that Tommy Smith and John Carlos did in 1968 when they raised a black power fist at the 1968 Mexico City Olympics. And, of course, both men were stripped of their gold medals by the International Olympic Committee on that. Also, to the bias of the NFL, and then also to the bias of the alt-white, you disrespecting the flag, are you disrespecting protecting the veterans and what have you. But the cold part about it is that they're not examining the reason why Colin Kaepernick is protesting. You just don't dig the ideas for all practical purposes. He told the national anthem and the United States flag to kiss his ass. And also, too, is that you're not looking at the reason why Mr. Kaepernick, you know, has took the protest posture in the first place. You see, it's because this is genocide. This is a collusion. You know, these police officers go out here, shoot our unarmed people, murder our children, and then they're not prosecuted in court. And then such as there that happened in the case in Baltimore, Maryland, where Ms. Mosby went on to do her job to prosecute these police officers for murder and whatnot. Then what happens is that she goes under a lot of scrutiny, and then from what I understand, that they were even trying to disbar her. So what we got to examine is the hypocrisy of this bullshit. You see what I mean? See, that's the problem right there, is the hypocrisy of it. And then they want to sit up there, urinate on us, tell us that it's rain. They want to sit up there, defecate on us, and tell us it's snow. This, ladies and gentlemen, is an insult to the intelligence of every black man and woman walking this planet. You got these collusionary bastards up here sanctioning these murders by the police department, and we're supposed to sit up there and act like it doesn't exist. You get these brain-dead idiots such as Sheriff David Clark and Uncle Ben, Uncle Tom, Uncle Ben Carson, or whatever, the neurosurgeon, and the bullshit that he's been saying. I'm wondering if this fool is prescribing himself his own damn medication. And this man is a neurosurgeon, brain surgeon, and what have you. Yeah, you know what I mean? That he's talking about when our people were brought here and captured against their will in bonds and chains. Oh, well, they were immigrants in search of their American dream or some bullshit that he tried to sit up there and pass on to the public right there. And then also, too, man, Dr. D, what we want to comment on, too, tonight, you know, and we would love for our listeners to give us a call at area code 646-564-9630. Please press 1 to speak live on air. But the insult to our intelligence, Mad Dr. Day, on this, you see, trying to tell us, you know, that this problem is invisible. You see, so that just simply goes to show the American ethos in regard to the life value of black people. You see? Yeah, could you go on and elaborate that there on that, Mad Dr. D?
Well, looks like they're all sitting here. Now, I'm watching all the players now. Everybody's standing up and all with their arms linked, but yet you still have them still got their hands on their heart, you know. And now they're just standing here for the act of standing here. Then they go back to their game, like it didn't really mean nothing. It's like they're standing here and they're taking the sting of it, the actually what it's all about, because what is it about this? You know,
right.
And then they go back to the game and put a full game, you know, to get a full pay, and nobody's suffering about nothing, and everybody's really laughing at you now. When you got everybody standing here, and it's like, so, and everybody's like, so what now? What? Because they're not pushing the fight.
Exactly. You see, and what it is, though, too, is what the NFL players ought to do is not only take their protest, they should not even play the damn game. You see what I mean? And that would really kill a lot of their attendees, you know, at the stadiums. You see, if you take some of these, you know, rich, famous black football players, and if they refuse in protest not to even play in the damn game, you see what I'm saying? That would really kill some sales at them stadium tickets. They would lose a lot more advertising dollars on that. You see what I mean? But this is very, very interesting. Yes, sir.
Because actually, it's like I said, they play a full game. So it's not even a protest. They took the word protest because they're not protesting. The protesters were boycotting. You're able to cease one thing to make one point. There's no point now. They're here, and then they go back to play the game, And everybody's like, everything's loud, blah, 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 blah. Who gives a fuck? Let's go pay and get my money. But they don't know how to hit them where it hurts. Because they don't know why. Because, like I said, if they stand and they sit up for the whole game, then you'll know something.
Mm-hmm. If they didn't play the damn game at all. But what it is that is the mindset, you know, of the slave, because we as a people still have this post-traumatic stress disorder from slavery that was passed on down from generation to generation. And then also, too, that I'm looking at here in mainstream media, where one sister who is a reporter, I believe, for one of these sports shows, who had tweeted out there that for what Trump is, a white supremacist, a white racist, upholding white supremacy, having a regard, you know, for the black community that is being murdered by the police. And then she goes on there and she gets censored. Then even Don Lemon, you know, that I saw on his telecast recently, where people are arguing with them back and forth, where you disrespecting the flag and you disrespecting the nation, you know, if you don't place your hand over the heart, recite the president, recite the Pledge of Allegiance and all this, you see. But at the same time, those who are standing up there espousing this rhetorical bullshit refuse to address the issue of the police murdering our people. The list goes on and on, you see. I mean, you know, this police officer in Minneapolis murders Mr. Castile in front of his wife and child, puts four bullets in him. You know, he's not prosecuted. The same thing for Tamir Rice, not to mention what happened with Trayvon Martin in regard to this George Zimmerman guy. You see, you know, and it's very, very interesting is that they refuse to give these families equal protection under the law. I even fault the 44th president for not even launching no type of investigation or some type of special probe, or just go having these collusionists placed under arrest or relieve these people of their position for gross incompetence. I mean, they have no regard for black life here in the United States of America. And as one of our ancestors has said over 50 years ago, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. Then they want to come to us as a people to go up here and to propagate this nonsense. You know, well, it doesn't exist. You know, don't make waves and this, that, there, the other. And then the sad part about it is that they will get some of the members of the murderer's family to come out here and support these police officers and what have you. I mean, you know, just what's going on? You see, what type of message is the United States sending around the world with the murder of black people by its police officers, and then you refuse to prosecute them under the laws that you swore to uphold? You see, this is the hypocrisy of the situation. You see what I mean? It's the hypocrisy of it. Yeah, go ahead, man, Dr. D.
Like I said, because now they wait for the national anthem and they go back on their business. If you're not going to make a point. I think they're just sitting around here and just trying to go through the motions. So, in other words, they're trying to pacify motherfuckers. You know.
Yeah, well, basically, that's exactly what my point. That is exactly what they're doing is pacification. You see what I mean? And then they want to deflect and redirect from the truth of what's really going on. And then they have the audacity to sit up there and to come to us as a people. Every election want us to go out there and partake in a system that's dedicated to our destruction. But however, I do want to thank the young congressman recently, I believe he's out of New York, And he had addressed in the Congress the reason why Mr. Kaepernick is protesting. They want to say he's not patriotic, you know, respect the flag, but at the same damn token, that those who are sitting up here were saying respect the flag and what have you are not recognizing the reason why Mr. Kaepernick is protesting that he did. And then not to mention that the so-called hypocrisy of this bullshit is what really has me ticked off is that he is supposed to have this First Amendment right about, well, using the right to freedom of speech and of expression. But however, ladies and gentlemen, as we already all know, is that in the Dred Scott decision that the United States Supreme Court had ruled that people of African descent were never intended and never could be citizens of the United States and receive equal protection under the law with it, and with this going on with these police killings, go ahead and proves that. I do not understand why high-level black police officials are not investigating this collusion or doing something to prevent this. It's because, after all, they themselves, they have relatives too, I'm sure, that happen to be black, you know, who could be a victim of this nonsense, the victims of this conspiracy, victims of this genocide, basically, is what it is. Say, it's tyranny, man. You know, and then all these other groups with their situations want us to come and support their causes. But however, they're not standing up for our cause. And our major concern currently right now is these questionable police killings. You see, now, where are these so-called black officials to give us equal protection up under the law? And although I appreciate what this young man in Congress, you know, had said and what he tried to do, because he was bringing attention to it, and it's on Twitter for our listeners out there. It's on Twitter that you could pull it up, and I think I shared the video to my page, Shabaka Sankara, and also, too, I believe I shared it to our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced as well, too, and throughout the various groups of where I'm an administrator and a member as well, too. Now, another thing that I want to comment on is this, is that they're saying is that quite naturally, of course, with Trump having a high turnover rate in his administration, a lot of these people are appointees and what have you, and then all of a sudden that they, you know, are leaving his office goes to show his incompetence. But however, ladies and gentlemen, we got a caller coming in, ladies and gentlemen, from area code 314 with the last 44664. You're live on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is your friend, Pianchi. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing all right, Mr. Pianchi. It's always
Pianchi,
a pleasure to have you on
here. Pianchi, the Donald Trump supporter, by the way.
Yes, sir. And then I've got a good question for you, Mr. Pianchi, is that your 45th president, you know, that you voted for and endorsed, you know, it seems to me to be a hell of a great businessman. I loved him as a fight promoter, you know, in the early 90s and what have you. But why does he have a high turnover rate in his administration for his key appointees? And then not to mention the fact, why is he ignoring the fact of why Mr. Kaepernick is protesting in the first place, and which is basically what the crux is the police murdering unarmed black men. Come on with it, Mr. Pianchi.
Well, Mr. Shabaka, Trump has nothing to do with police officers and how they behave in communities.
Okay, come
that's
on with
the
it,
people
brother.
That's the people in those communities' responsibility. The police are their employees. They are their employees, and they pay their wages and salary.
Right.
And as I have told you several times, we have some 99% black communities that had 100% or near 100% white police department. And when the city council gave down orders and they wasn't seeing what they wanted to see, they just dissolved the departments.
Oh,
so they
right.
exercise
okay.
their power over their employees. three communities like that done that, and they formed what's called the North County Cooperative in North St. Louis County.
Okay.
Now, Chicago, Cerbaca, and New York in particular, those are different cases because New York has about 35,000 or 37,000 police officers on their force.
Right.
That is a voting block. But no, the President of the United States don't have no jurisdiction over no local police department.
Okay, sir, let me explain something to you. Okay, and please correct me.
And
if
I was
wrong.
A police commissioner in a black village, and I know how we set the standard for what they've done.
Oh yes, sir, and that's why I'm so glad that you've called into the show, sir. Okay, why are the police getting away with these murders of unarmed black men all across the nation, from New York City, Chicago, where I was born, to Los Angeles, California, where I grew up at? Why are they getting away with these murders, number one, and also, two, why are they not being prosecuted and charged with murder in the first degree, or at least manslaughter in the second degree? Now, my main
All right, well, let me answer this for you.
Yes, sir.
Let me answer this for you. Police officers, security guards, people that have concealed carry licenses, like myself, have the authority to use deadly force because of state statute. And if somebody posed to me danger where I feel that my life is being threatened, I will pull my pistol out and kill him because the state gives me the right to do that. Now,
let me interject.
Court decision. Hang on. Let's go on to these first degree these charges. One of the reasons why it's difficult to find a police officer, a security guard, and it's a little bit different with somebody who's using castle doctrine, is because. It's because when you have these individuals on trial for murder, you have to have a unanimous decision. You can have, if you got 10 people, a 9 that's voting to convict, or 1 out of the 12 say, I don't think he needs to be convicted, then you can't convict him.
Right, because that's a hung jury. Yes, sir.
That's a hung jury, absolutely. And everybody don't think alike. Surely whites don't think in those cases as blacks do. Asians don't. And that's just the way it is. Another case, another thing. The Supreme Court has said that a police officer, a security guard, when they see that a suspect is running, if that suspect pose a danger to them, even though they're running from them. But here's the thing that people don't realize. If that suspect is running and would come in contact with another citizen and do harm or use that citizen for a hostage take. And you had a case where that did happen and the suspect ran up in a school. Well, then now you really got a problem. And that was Gardner versus Tennessee where that case come out. But guess what? In 1893, the Supreme Court ruled that anyone that's subjected to an unlawful arrest and detainment, and if their life is threatened, they have a right to use deadly force, too, even against a police officer.
Okay, hold on a second, sir. Now, let me interject on something right there. Glad you brought that up. Dr. Huey Percy Newton, sir, in 1966, had formed an organization to do just that, citing the Second Amendment to protect themselves. And then he had stated that it's mighty funny that the police murders have went down drastically, when the men went out there and exercised their Second Amendment rights to protect themselves. And then, as we know, the state of California had passed a law that signed by then Governor Ronald Reagan, that you cannot carry a firearm in the state of California, which was designed to disarm this particular party, and we know which party that we're speaking of. So what I'm saying and submit to you, sir, is that they have one set of rules for the white supremacists or Europeans here, and then they still got their own set of, Jim Crow laws and what have you for us. This is why each time that we come out here and try to emphasize emphasize the beauty of our culture and talk about cohesiveness amongst ourselves, we are called black racists. And I really don't know what a black racist is, and I would like for you to define that for me. But then when other groups come out
here.
There
can't be black
racism. Okay, explain to me, sir. Okay, explain to me, sir.
Well, I was an employee, and I was an employer, and I hired white folks. So what people claim that happens to them is black being hired by whites, I could have done the same thing to whites, too. Matter of fact, I had an EEOC case drawn up against me from a white woman. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes, sir. Okay, but what I'm just saying, though, as you know, Mr. Pianki, that the police departments evolved from the slave catchers or slave patrollers, as they called them. And in their ethos, in their fraternal organization, in their society, they automatically, subconsciously, whether directly or indirectly, have a low regard for black life. Period. Just like in the city of Los Angeles, when I was coming up, it was commonly referred to, the suspect is described as a male Negro, and once they would say that, then every black man in the city of Los Angeles, you know, his life was in jeopardy. And then, you know, we can go on and on and on. I mean, let's look at Christopher Dorner, what he did in Los Angeles. Man was a decorated veteran, okay, served his country, was an officer at that, a Navy SEAL. The man goes to report misconduct, or what they do, they try to smear him. Now, what's your comments on that? And basically what
well,
I would like to
in
hear.
The, in the court case, in the Supreme Court case, Plummer versus State, 135
yes.
Indiana. This was in 1893, and it says citizens may resist unlawful arrest to the point of taking and arresting officer's life as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You had another one
okay.
that came along. It was John Bad Elk versus U.S. This was in 1900, and you have had subsequent court decision. I think maybe the last one was like 1978, Wilson versus State. So if you are resisting an unlawful arrest, if you feel threatened, you got a right to eliminate that threat. Now, why people, some people will and some people won't.
Okay, now, but what I'm saying is the average citizen, if he was to defend himself against a police officer, against an unlawful arrest, an unlawful assault, more than likely this person would either be killed, man, or beat to a pulp. Okay, let's be real. I mean, here's a police officer who is a trained fighter with a baton, with a firearm, with a taser, who's been trained in it. And one thing I know about when people start training off in those type of combat arts and what have you, a lot of them are just waiting for some damn sucker along to see if this shit really works and then take it out on them just to see if it works. And then you got a victim of that. And then not to mention the fact you get a lot of police officers who sit up there and go along with conspiracies to cover up these murders and what have you, such as in the Freddie Gray
case.
Why
do the municipality let those things go on?
Okay, well, it seems to me, sir, if the municipalities are allowing these things going on, that the chief executive or the president of the United States should be sending in the federal authorities to place these individuals under arrest for failure to give
the
people equal protection under the law.
The president cannot send. The president can't send federal troops into a municipality. He don't have jurisdiction. But just like in Ferguson this past summer, where they had an election for mayor. Mayor Knowles, the long-standing mayor of Ferguson, who had been mayor during the time that Darren Wilson killed Mike Brown.
You're right. You
Ferguson
mean
is a majority black community. Right. Ferguson is a majority black community. But blacks didn't come out and vote the man out. So apparently they feel comfortable with him.
Okay,
so
well, it seems to
who's
me,
the onus of
okay, now I got to ask this question. Okay, now you're familiar with the Second Amendment, right? And the Declaration of the Independence, right?
Well, yeah, I'm
yeah.
familiar with the Second Amendment.
Yeah. Okay, now it does say, now this is what these white people, man, I'm just going by what I read, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, and also too, ladies and gentlemen, for our other listeners out there, feel free to join in this great discussion that we're having tonight at 646-564-9630 and press 1 to speak live on air. Okay, but does not the Declaration of Independence says that when the government goes corrupt, that not only do the people have have a right to change it, but that they have a duty to change it, and they also have the right to form a militia to do it. Now, when black men did this, they were labeled public enemy number one under the counterintelligence program, which in
well, what right did they have to
illegal.
Do this, Shabaka? What right did they have
what
to
right
do this? What law was backing Declaration
of
Independence was not a law.
No, sir. What they was doing was that they were protesting the illegal killings of blacks at the behest of police departments on the West Coast, mainly in the Bay Area.
Declaration of Independence,
sir.
They had no authority over. The Declaration of Independence is not a law. It's just a declaration that was made by a colony of settlers. And that was a
mm-hmm.
Senate declaration
a
to the King of England. England.
Yeah, but please, yeah, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Well, no settlers. The people that got off the Mayflower was not slave traders, right?
Uh-huh. Okay, go on. Yeah, I'm talking about as they came along in 1776, Mr. Bianchi.
Yeah, but
okay,
they didn't.
When these
but
white
they
folks
didn't.
Here,
in 1770, people in 1776 were not the people in 14. In the 14 middle part of the 1400s, the 15th century.
Okay.
They made
okay,
a declaration.
Well, let's say that these are these.
They made a declaration to the King of England, letting him know
mm-hmm.
what their intent was. It was not law. There was no United States at that time. United States didn't form
mm-hmm.
until the Constitution was approved, which was 300
yeah, right.
some odd years mm-hmm. later.
Okay, but the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, wasn't that there around 1770, 1776, so about 1780, around that circle? Let's say from 1775 up to, say, 1800.
The Constitution was ratified around 1779.
Okay.
Somewhere around
okay,
that time.
Yeah, somewhere, yes, sir. Okay, but
that
in
might
the
be
Declaration.
Off. Somebody can correct me. Declaration
oh,
of Independence had nothing to do with it. Yeah.
I see. Okay. Now, the militia clause, you know, for the people to protect themselves against tyranny. Okay. You're familiar with that, right, as well, too. That's what the Second Amendment is about, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
It has two
okay,
points.
And then also, too, okay, yes, sir. Now, also, too, it also states that the people got the right to form a militia, right?
That's one of the points, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, so why was it that when black men did this 50 years ago that they were labeled public enemy number one? Explain that one. What I'm proving, Mr. Bianchi, is the hypocrisy of this, sir. It's the hypocrisy
well,
of it.
Well, here in
I
St.
Mean,
Louis.
How can black people go up here, worship a flag, bow down to a flag that simply supports them being murdered by the state?
Well, black people do that because they support the flag because they're United States citizens. Here in St. Louis, we have blacks that openly carry AR-15s during protests, and nobody bothers them.
Really?
Yes.
That's very, very interesting. You know, it's because I know a state.
They openly carry, walk downtown during protests
uh-huh.
and during Trump rally.
Uh-huh.
They openly carry
right.
their side piece and also the AR-15s.
Okay, now I do know down there in the great state of Texas, and I want to give a shout out there to the Huey P. Newton Gun Club that are instructing our people in gun safety, that is making our people educated of how to use firearms and how to protect themselves, you know, and those group of individuals that went down there to go attack a certain location within
mm-hmm.
the black community, and they came out there to support themselves against their opposition.
You got a
brother
in Illinois, Shabaka, by the name of
mm-hmm.
Jonas Hagos. He's a Sudanese. He manufactured
mm-hmm.
AR-15, a very elite
right?
AR-15 at that. Yes.
Really?
His company is called Civilian Arms. And
okay.
his gun is called the Hagos 15. His name is Yanis
okay, sure.
Hagos, H-A-G-O-S. And you can find him on
yes,
YouTube.
Sir. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. But also, too, in regard getting back to Trump's incompetence, you know, as a commander in chief, now, how do you feel about the racial slurs that were written on a black cadet's locker or dormitory room about NGR, get up out of here, and here's a young black man trying to get him a career in the Air Force out there in Colorado Springs. You know, what's your take on that?
Well, you had the head of the Air Force came out and made some very, very tough statements on people who indulged in that type of activity. He said that you, ultimately, he said, you need to get your butts out. That was a strong message.
Okay. Okay, well, why didn't he order the MPs or, how should I say, law enforcement officials on that campus to order an investigation who did this and just simply have them arrested for civil rights violations? I mean, it's on federal property, right?
Imagine they doing. We don't know if he didn't do that or not.
Yeah, so, yeah, doing, once again, damage control, sweeping it up under the rug, yeah. You know, just like when the San Francisco
police
departed.
Well, he came out in public, and it was a news, it was on the news, and he made the statement that they weren't going to tolerate that, and people that's involved in that is going to be put out, and so on and so on and so on. You had here in St. Louis a school, Maryville MCIDS, which is a private school, where you had some white students that posted on social media some disparaging things about some black students, and they got suspended. But you had a black woman who was a state legislator, Maria Chappelle Nadal, wrote on her Twitter account, she wished that Trump would be assassinated. And the state legislator said she needed to resign. They took her off all committeeship, and she wouldn't resign. So her action is the same as those kids who got suspended, and she chose to still stay where she are, saying the reason why come they want her to resign, because she's a black female. No, you wrote something disparaging, threatening the president. So
that's
a double
standard. Is a crime in this country. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it is a crime here to threaten the president. Now, but in regard to this guy, Trump that you support, and I guess it's okay to call you a Trumpeteer or a Trumpster or what have you?
No, I'm a United States citizen that support this particular president. We supported him as a candidate.
Let me explain
and participating
something
in
to you, sir. Okay, all right. Now, me, I have voted in every election from the time that I was 18 to the time that I was, 41. When I saw the hypocrisy of it in 2000, I can't go out and vote as a matter of moral consciousness. Now, another thing bothering me is, and I'm going to give this young man credit today after I say what I said, is that these black politicians that had came into office turned their back on the black community, sold them down the river. These sellouts and what have you. I mean, let's look at the mayor of Detroit, got convicted for bribery, doing 20 years. Let's look at the mayor of Compton, California, and half the city administration officials that were arrested there in the 1990s, I believe, for allowing, Alcoa or one of these corporations, you know, to dump aluminum waste over there in the city of Compton, you know, and what have you. Because nobody cares, man, about black people in this country. The point is, what I'm making, though, is this. Brother, is that they don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. They don't care if you're a Christian or a Muslim. As long as you are a member of the black community, man, you will always be treated as a substandard citizen.
Let me ask you a question,
yes, sir, absolutely. You can ask me anything
you
want.
Who is this day you're talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about the
I mean,
white
name me some
structure.
Names and be more specific. Name
absolutely. By all means. Sure. First of all, let's look at your first, at least your first nine rape and slave trial, slave trading pedophile presidents. Jefferson being
I
one
wasn't
of them.
Living
Please
down.
Let me
wait a minute. Hang on. Let's talk about 2017.
Me? Okay, what about 2017?
I'm not living in no Thomas Jefferson period.
What I'm looking at, sir, is our people's history here in this country. Once again,
you
know, here comes
we know
this
the history,
dissonance. Once again,
you
here
say
comes
that there's
the
a day out there that
Central.
Won't let you do things.
Once again, boss, we sick. But then the sad part about it is that a lot of our youth are not aware of the great people in our history that tried to end this oppression and this murder of us, such as, you know, Harriet.
Let me
Tubman,
give you some names, some good
much.
Black politicians. Here in this area, you have Jamila Nasheed, a female politician for the state of Missouri. Yaphet Elamine, excellent politician here in the state. Betty Thomas, who was a state rep.
What are they doing? I want to
say
there, in your region,
there was another one by the name of Sherman Parker. He was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And you have another U.S. congressperson coming out of Kansas City. And I can't think of his name right now. He's an excellent politician. But then again, you got some black politicians. These black politicians, by the way, that ain't worth a damn.
Yeah, right. Well, I hate to say it, sir. I would have to say at least about 94% of them are not worth a damn, including the 44th president, who had the power to stop these police killings, have it investigated, but he was more worried about alternative lifestyles that they're trying to force on our children in their formative years. You see what I mean?
Well, Eric Holder did do an investigation with Ferguson in the verdict on Mike on Darren Wilson. He said there wasn't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. He said it wasn't nothing wrong with it. In other words, that there was a good thing that Darren Wilson did by shooting Mike Brown, who was unarmed.
No, he didn't say it was. He didn't say it was a good thing. He said there was nothing illegal, or there was nothing to charge him with. With murder.
Okay. What about those cats in New York City that killed Mr. Garner, who was selling the loose cigarettes?
I don't know about them. Now there has been
him.
A case where
there has been a recent case here. Come on, man, brother.
I don't live in New York, man. That's why I gave you examples of the ones in St. Louis area.
Okay.
Now there has been a case.
There has been a case
where police just been recently convicted for some improprieties, as it has to do with the death of a victim. Jasper, Texas. Those guys got the death penalty for dragging. I can't think of that guy, brother's name.
His name was James Byrd. The brother's name,
James Byrd.
That they dragged from the pickup truck. But what I'm saying, though, sir, is that the ethos of this country has no regard for black life, particularly that of black males. You see what I mean? Let's look at Hollywood. You know, you got all these black actors going out here wearing dresses and playing females. They want to demasculate the black man. They don't want him to be the head of his household. They don't want him to be the leader and the protector of his children. All they want is these Negroes, brother, to sit out here, drink this Kool-Aid, and stand there, man, and allow themselves to be murdered like sheep. And then when a group of black men got together to exercise their constitutional rights to protect themselves, which they were very, very well versed in, they were labeled public enemy number one. Now, let's talk about that hypocrisy right there.
Well, I can tell you.
The floor is yours.
Another program they have here at the one location where they're training black males for construction jobs. You have a white construction company that's providing cab service at the cost of $90 a day to take these workers, at least one that I know of, from his house to the job site and take him back home until he collects enough checks so he can buy his own vehicle. This is a white company that's doing that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Marginal. But
don't you think that's
okay.
A good thing?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Although it's marginal, it is a step in the right direction. But also, too, in addition to Mr. Bianchi, we got to control our own commercial infrastructure so we can put our own people to work as men. Now, out here on the West Coast, down in California, where that Silicon Valley is, man, is that they got a lot of people who work for them who are highly educated that come from all these other nations and what have you. They're not out there hiring black people. Man, you got less than 3% of the workforce in Silicon Valley that are black. But what they do is that they pool their resources, they hire their own, they build their own infrastructures. But when we as a people come out here, advocate this, propagate this, try to practice this, try to do for self, to make ourselves become self-sufficient, then we are viewed upon as black racists. And please explain to me why this is not hypocrisy, although it is. They urinate on us.
Who are you talking to? You see, you got to get blacks that has the capability of doing that to do that. You know, the people that talk about that don't have the ability, the wherewithal to make that happen. So they got to make peace to somebody who do. And apparently they just don't want to do it. Some do,
okay, well,
and they do,
is
but a lot of them don't want to.
Okay, but once again, though, is that this is why we got to control our own educational infrastructure for ourselves. You see what I mean? It's because, like Malcolm had said 50 years ago, that only a fool will send his child to his oppressor to be educated, and his point is proven over and over again every day. And, you know, as we had similar conversations with this, as Dr. Carter G. Woodson had said in regard to the miseducation of the Negro.
Well, you know, we have a Muslim school here in the city of St. Louis ran by Ibrahim Muhammad. It's on Garrison Avenue and Natural Bridge. The people of the St. Louis chapter, Moz number 27, and there's another Moz on the east side, but the one on Moz number 27 that's over on West Florissant, that's ran by Donald Muhammad. I'm giving names and location and address where people can check this out. These people don't even send their kids to that school. They send their kids to Cardinal Ritter, which is a Catholic school. Although it's black, but they don't send their kids to that school. And they move.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, sir. Over the period of time that we have been here in this nation, or in this hemisphere, the value of our lives seem to be somewhat only half worth that of other groups' lives. You see what I mean? In other words, is that they don't regard us, you know, as human. They regard
us they again?
As... Okay, I'm talking about the power structure of white America. Anytime that I say they, I'm talking about the power structure in white America is because they control this shit. You see what I mean? And then another thing, too. That's why I really appreciate Dr. Boyce Watkins of the work that what he is doing is trying to get us, our young people, educated on finance, economics, to become entrepreneurs. See, Mr. Pianke, for us to get
true black power.
Okay, for us to get true black power is that we got to control our commercial infrastructure, our power grid infrastructure to sustain our lives, get us some land, one of the major factors of production. And the only way to acquire this is to have the education within our youth planted in them early. You see what I mean? So they can go
Well, you know,
out
let me tell you something. You say that whites
generation.
Don't give a damn about blacks. That's what I heard you say.
No, sir, they don't.
You might correct
much.
Me.
I mean, yes.
You know, we
much.
Have
yeah,
a protest here in the city of St. Louis. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a protest here in the city of St. Louis.
And
they're protesting because of a bench trial decision over an officer that killed a black man back in 2011. His name was Joseph Shockley.
Okay.
The protests, 85% of the protesters is laying on the ground are white.
Okay. Because even they're seeing through the hypocrisy. See,
pardon me?
Even they're seeing through the even they are seeing through.
Yeah,
the
but what I'm saying is they're the ones, they are, you know, you say that they don't care. Well, they're the ones make up 80% of the people that's laying on the ground demonstrating civil disobedience and getting, you know, manhandled and so forth. They white.
Okay.
And to be
all
truthful
right, now,
with you, Shabaka.
Yeah.
Black people, and I don't know where they are every place else, but the certain element of blacks here in this area is not worried about getting shot by a police officer. They're worried about getting they're worried about being victims of criminality by somebody that looks about like them. My mechanic,
Mr.
Charlie,
son
was shot.
We have to educate our people. Wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
His son was shot. We had another case at the Love's filling station, gasoline station, where they have a McDonald's restaurant alongside. A black man and had his two sons, college sons. He pulled up to the lot. I guess they were going to the McDonald's, and they seen some black men out there arguing and stuff. So they said, I guess they said to themselves, they don't want to be part of this. So they quietly backed their car up and get ready to pull off the lot. Well, apparently two or some of these guys jumped in their car and followed them.
Yeah.
And eventually came up alongside him and shot him and killed one of the man's sons.
Yeah.
So
that
that's just two cases, but that's the those are the ones you have to be scared of. It ain't the police, because usually a person that experienced some sort of criminality, they call the police. Mm-hmm. When a wife is having problems with her husband at the house, a boyfriend, they call the police.
Right. Okay. Please continue.
So they ain't the ones that's running their cars up into these people's houses. I ain't talking about into the outside of the house. I'm talking about into the house. In some cases,
right.
You heard the case where the brother SUV ended up on top of the man's roof.
Wow.
So they ain't worried
mm-hmm.
about the police, Shabaka. They worried about people that look like them. It's running red lights, running stop signs, disregard for stop signs, speeding.
Okay, well, see, but, well, see, that there is the, how should I say, the ingrainment, you know, of black self-hatred, you know, which is brought to us, you know, by the system here that you have of white supremacy. And see, as long as we out there doing something to ourselves, degrading ourselves with this music, our men making these ridiculous movies, looking stupid, looking like buffoons and what have you, then this projects the image of around the world that they think we're all of like this. And then, of course, the internalized self-hatred that we have of self, you see, which is brought to you by, once again, that plantation system.
Well,
see,
I don't know
what I mean?
If it's self-hatred or what, but I know one thing. It's criminality, and you have
mm-hmm.
African-Americans who don't like it, and they caught up in between a hard spot and a rock. So
yeah,
when they hear of, if they hear of injustices that we like, that we identify, police shootings
mm-hmm.
and things like that, you know, certain
mm-hmm.
elements of the black community don't even come out for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay, I'm going to ask our co-host what he feels about all this. Mad Dr. D, what is your intake on this here, the conversation that we're having with our guest, Mr. Bianca, one of our frequent callers? Mad Dr. D, are you there? Okay, well, anyway, moving right along, I'm sure
Sound
Mad
like
Dr.
It's
D will join
sleep.
Us. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sure Mad Dr. D, you know, will get back with us, you know, as soon as you can. But now
you know, I want to
you
ask
know,
you something about this thing they call white supremacy. And you made mention also
yes, sir.
About black
mm-hmm.
nationalism, but white folks have a right, anybody else have a right to talk about white nationalism and also Asian nationalism, Nigerian nationalism. But this thing that
mm-hmm.
people call white supremacy is being
mm-hmm.
misconstrued, I think.
Okay, how is it misconstrued?
Well, I presume that your definition of white supremacy is that they think they're better than everybody.
Okay, well, when I say white supremacy, not only that, only guys like Trump who create this fervor around the nation that has been at the racial tensions has been at its highest point like it was 50 years ago. This man gets elected. He sits up there doing his campaign, you know, is telling people to assault black protesters, of which one did. That was caught on film. For their abusers like that, they figured for us to get up there in mainstream media, sit up there, forgive the perpetrators, just like what happened down there, man, in Carolina with Dylan Roof. You know, mainstream media assumes that automatically that we forgive them when they sit, lie in wait, and murder us. And then what
the people in that church
forgave him. Excuse me. Okay, hold on. And then when the dude or the perpetrator is arrested, they take him to a McDonald's. A man out here selling cigarettes, you know, just because he didn't pay his tax on it, they choke him to death in an unauthorized, repeat, unauthorized chokehold, which was banned by the New York City Police Department, but yet though this officer still went out here, applied this unauthorized chokehold, the man dies, and he's not charged with murder. At least manslaughter. That's it. They just go ahead and let him walk. And then also,
well, that's not white supremacy, I don't consider. Let me tell you what white supremacy
is. Okay. Okay.
When you look at categorical industries like telecommunications,
mm-hmm.
transportation,
okay. mm-hmm.
finance, when you're
mm-hmm.
looking at things like leverage buyouts and equity financing,
mm-hmm.
boycotts and
mm-hmm.
sanctions, the face behind
right.
those are white.
Mm-hmm.
They control that. Now, here's the irony of it. You can compete
okay.
against them, and white supremacy in that categories get defeated all the time.
Okay, how so?
Because other ethnic groups compete against them. Look at the garment industry in Manhattan. Chinese now control what Jews used to control. They don't control anymore. When you look at telecommunication, Asians control that. There's no Motorola. There's no RCA in television. Koreans control that. It's Samsung nowadays. So white supremacy is defeated. Nigerians control about 20% of the world's offshore oil well drilling. At one point in time, they was not there.
Yeah,
so they have defeated white supremacy and took their share.
Their share. My point is this, Mr. Bianca. We should be producing for ourselves, and also, too, we should be having other groups of people coming to the world purchasing our products, goods, and services as well, too, you know, just off the concept of international
trade.
I agree with you, but you got to do it.
Whites ain't going to do that for you.
But what I'm saying is, but when there are those of us, our people who advocate this, then mainstream media refers to them and society as a whole, the American ethos, I should say, looks at them as black racists. And I don't understand that. And then also, too.
I have never heard media call black entrepreneurship businesses as being black racist. You know, I'm going to tell you something else. You know, you had a shooting in a white church. You remember that?
Hold on a second. You had a shooting in a white church about a week ago. Okay, what you misunderstood me on is where I said if black people, came together as a collective controlling their own industries to give us clothes, to provide roofs for us, to have control our own infrastructures, to control our own factors of production on an economical basis, then we're viewed upon as black racists. And then there are those who had advocated this, you see, and then, you know, they try to ridicule them and all this old type of business, talking about, well, we're all Americans and all that. First place, black man, our people's history did not start here on no damn plantation in the United States. You see what I'm saying? And definitely hold that thought there. Mr. Bianca, we got another caller calling in, and we're going to invite him in to join in the conversation, and he's from area code 404. Last four is 4727. Sir, you're on Chicago's Black Experience. Who am I speaking with that?
Oh, this is Naj. I came in here to jump on Bianca. But how you doing?
Yes, go right ahead.
Everybody wants to jump on me.
This is what it's about. I let
Naj do it. Me and Naj friends. Go ahead, you can jump on me, Naj.
No, I didn't hear the conversation yet. I was just talking stuff as I'm coming in, man. I got to catch up to where y'all at.
What it is, Mr. Nash, we're talking about our subject tonight, you know, is Trump versus Kaepernick. You know, we're talking about, you know, how the president had made derogatory comments about Colin Kaepernick, calling him a son of a bitch and what have you, saying that he should be fired because he's disrespecting the flag by taking a knee as opposed to looking at the reason of why the brother is making a protest stand. And also,
Chewbacca.
Yes, sir.
Trump never called Kaepernick a son of a bitch. But go ahead.
Let me say that. Let's say he did it indirectly with the statement. Tell you what, people here, why don't we do this right here?
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired.
Comments, gentlemen. Now, you tell me.
Hang on for a second. Hang on, because he's talking to me.
Okay.
Trump was not talking to about. He said, "Wouldn't you love to see one of these owners?" All right.
Mm-hmm.
Not say Donald Trump. When a player disrespects the flag, Then the owner would tell the player to get that SOB off the field. He's fired. He was not saying himself. He gave a scenario of an owner after the flag has been disrespected.
Okay, but hold on. Come on, Mr. Piace. We know who he's talking about, and we know what
no,
he's
we
talking
don't
about.
Know anything. I heard what he said.
Okay, well, I'll play the clip again, but let's look at his implications.
I got
let's
it written down what he said. You
hold
want me to read it?
Man, hold on. Slow down with the clip.
Go on, Mr. Nyes. Go on, Mr. Nyes. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, man. This is the huge part everybody's missing with this. As raggedy as those comments were, you go back a couple months before where he basically said NFL owners are scared to hire this guy because they're scared of Trump's tweets. That's the more damaging comment. That's directly affecting somebody's employment. That's somebody using the presidential office to affect the business. Like, people let that one slide because this one's more inflammatory because you had a president actually cursing because he has no home training or manners, and, you know, this is who that fool is. But the other comment was even worse. And the main thing we're getting at here in watching this is, you got somebody who can't govern, can't legislate, and the only thing they can do is throw red meat to their base and try to start little petty fights. And that's what he's doing.
And the
people who support him to start the fight with. Most of the owners
That's the part I'm loving, Nyes. That's the part I'm loving there, Mr. Nyes. Because this whole house is crumbling from within, man. He's got people in his administration, you know, who have resigned, and, man, who've been. He's got a very, very high turnover rating. To me, that's incompetence. Now,
almost higher than Jimmy Carter, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, every performer.
Almost higher than Jimmy Carter. Don't forget Harry Truman called MacArthur SOB. Lyndon Johnson, the progenitor of the Civil Rights Bill, called blacks niggerous. Richard Nixon called blacks niggerous, even though he built a black town in North Carolina, Warren County, called Soul City. Another one in South Carolina called
Nixon, right?
President Nixon put millions of dollars into that. Also, Nixon, wait a minute, let me tell you what Nixon did. Nixon also, when Arthur Fletcher, who was the author of Affirmative Action, was in Chicago going against the Daily Machine and also the labor unions. Labor unions put out a hit on Arthur Fletcher. Matter of fact, they surrounded his hotel, and him and his wife in their room had to put furniture up against the door. Nixon called, got on the phone, and called Mayor Daley and said, "If you harm one hair on that black man's head, I would have the 101st Airborne marching down Michigan Avenue to take over Chicago Monday morning."
Okay, hold on. Now let me ask you this. Then why didn't the same Republican who made this statement, did not sit up there and do the same thing when the Chicago Police Department, in collusion with the FBI, went and murdered Fred Hampton? They shot and killed him.
Because they don't have control over the police department. God damn, man. How much easier does it have to be? Your federal government, you know, the federal government couldn't even come into New Orleans, Louisiana, during Katrina unless the governor asked for them to come.
I see.
He had to put General Honoré in charge of the on-ground operation. I love the man. He'd done a good thing. He had to put him once the governor okayed it. You cannot march federal troops up into a state just like that. States are sovereign.
Good point, sir.
States are sovereign. Okay, what do you got to say about this here, Mr. Nyes?
Yeah, well, this is Beyonce's his typical move, run away from talking about Trump, so he brings up all these other situations.
You the one ran away from that. I didn't. I'm just telling you what's going on. And
so
by the way, you just knew coming in on this.
I mean, you just
but go ahead.
Over talking to me right now, so I'm new, so go listen for a minute. You'll be all right.
Okay, go on, Mr. Nyes. You got the floor, Mr. Nyes. Basically, what we're talking about, I'm going
to
give you our description for tonight.
Administration has been a disaster. Bianchi reverts to this old tactic where he brings up other presidents, brings up past situations, instead of just dealing with the here and now. And the here and now is we got a president who was slow to activate in Puerto Rico. We're seeing Katrina Part 2 We got a president who's having feuds internationally by social media as if he doesn't have any diplomatic upbringing. We got a president who doesn't understand the economy or how legislation works. There was a Republican who made a fool of him in his office and then went outside and told reporters about how he tricked Trump into supporting something that he didn't want to support because Trump didn't understand the language.
What did they got to do with the topic of the show, Trump versus Kaepernick?
I'm just giving the rundown on Trump, who he is.
Well, you're getting off the subject then.
Most definitely. We're staying on the subject. Okay,
I can go there, too. I'm going to give you my response to that, too.
To say the administration didn't act
on Puerto Rico, they suspended the Jones Act for 30 days. You know what the Jones Act is? As it applies to Puerto Rico and also applies to maritime.
1917, it's the right for America to basically rob Puerto Rico and not include other nations.
No, the Jones Act says that goods that's formed.
Hold on before you do your long run on sentence. We all know what the Jones Act is, man. It's been covered.
No, we all don't know what the Jones Act is.
The issue is, why did they wait? Why did they wait to suspend the Jones Act? And that's when Trump gave the answer of, well, the shipping industry talked to me and they'd be really upset about it. That was why he delayed it.
The Jones Act was put in place in order to protect American shipping. As a matter of fact, every country around the world has a similar arrangement. No foreign ship can come and dock at another country's ports. It takes a local pilot that must get on that ship and dock that ship and also take it away from the docks and put it out to sea. And you have to fly the American flag. Goods going to Puerto Rico have to first go through the United States, then go to Puerto Rico. That's by way of the Jones Act. He suspended the Jones Act.
Okay.
A week late.
What is that noise, man? Y'all got a dog or something barking?
Somebody got a dog. But, yeah, he suspended the Jones Act a week too late. Didn't get things there as needed. Now we got all this stuff at the dock, and they're trying to run a kind of Chinese fire drill to get everything out there when it should have been immediate response, similar to the other emergency situations we had in the past couple of weeks. So this just goes to show you, man.
Well, where did Puerto Rico come in with some blame? They should put things in place for emergency. Puerto Rico could, because it's like $120, $130 billion deficit. Well, I'm sorry, not deficit, debt that Puerto Rico had. The island is bankrupt.
But
as I was saying,
let's get into that. Let's get into that.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Nice.
Pianchi, who owns that debt?
What?
Who owns that debt? Yeah.
Well, yeah, Puerto Rico is. Well, the same question could be asked of Illinois. Who owns their debt?
No, different situation because they don't have sovereignty in the form since they're basically a colony of the U.S. Paul Singer, a well-known Republican donor, has a majority of debt. Goldman Sachs has a majority of debt. And Walmart. Puerto Rico has more Walmarts per square mile than anywhere else on earth. They just destroyed their mom-and-pop stores and local independent farmers. So they've had financial problems for a good decade, mismanagement. And they have a group there who's basically the committee that is above who they elect as far as local governance, because everything has to go through the bill, meaning the budget. So the debtors have to be paid first, and then they can start going through the budget to run their government, including emergency services and everything else. But when you have the emergency procedures is ridiculous.
Those companies do just like companies that was owed money by Venezuela. They go to the world court and get a settlement. And then, just like the IMF, also the World Bank, they either take collateral or they get paid. It looks to me like they're going to be taking some collateral.
Yeah, we're going to see a privatization in Puerto Rico like you've never seen. New Orleans was just the start of something like this. This is going to be way worse. They're going to buy it for pennies and basically turn it into a resort area where the people are essentially working to serve other people on their own land. So, yeah, it's about to get real ugly
right
down there.
And that's what happened when you have politics that just don't do the right thing. Look at Illinois. They just passed a law at the state level permitting abortions to be paid for by state portion of Medicaid. I think that's crazy. But that's what they want to do. Illinois has an archaic gun law, too. I would never live in Illinois. I'm a strong gun advocate. I think that their gun law is crazy. When I go into Illinois, I have to put my guns in the trunk.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, Mr. Bianca. Just changing the subject briefly, gentlemen. And I would like your feedback on this here, too, Mr. Nash. Now, what in regard to about Philando Castile in Minnesota, which he was murdered by Geronimo Yanez? What's your opinion on that? And he was licensed to carry, and he was following all police commands. He notified the officer that he was licensed to carry, showed him his paperwork, and then his officer, with his coward self, went on and said he was in fear of his life and put four bullets in this man, and not to mention the fact that this man was in a vehicle with his wife and child, and the baby was in the back seat. Now, what's your opinion on that there, Mr. Bianca? Enlighten me on that.
I think that the officer should have been charged with some serious crime for taking the man's life, as well as discharging of his weapon.
I think they should have special circumstances, is what I think. But come on.
Well, but see, but the thing is that he was not found guilty. Because the way the laws are written, that community could change that. When a police officer has a fear for his life, he should retreat and call for backup. It's easy for them to change that if they want to. It takes the citizens to do that, not the police department, not the police union, but the citizens. You know why? Because the citizens always end up having to pay these huge settlements.
Yeah, now that's
Illinois couldn't pay no. You know what? Hey, Illinois can't even pay his lotto ticket winners. So you think it needs to have some settlements like that? I'm not kidding you. If you got a scratch off, brother, you don't get paid.
You don't hear conservative people who support the police on every issue clamoring in the streets about police brutality payments. So that's not the money that upsets them. The money that upsets them is so-called entitlement money that they think is going to poor people. So that doesn't upset them enough. The Castillo case is the quintessential American police brutality murder case. You get the questionable shooting. You get everything on video. You get the person not convicted. Like, you get everything you need to see about the American justice system. And if we push hard enough and change things, we'll see another case like this go down next year. So
I agree with you.
Part,
you should.
What people really, really miss on is the citizens in that area agree with policing in this fashion. And I think as black people, we really got to start understanding like where we are and who we're dealing with. When you see a man the guy in Arizona be reelected time after time after time, you got to stop saying it's just the police and realize you're talking about a whole systemic issue. You're talking about not only your judicial system, you're talking about your political system, city hall, the people who tell people where to police, how to police, what areas need more, patrols, the fining system that they use to fund most of these broke cities. That's what we're really talking about. We're talking about American systemic racism, and we can't limit it to just the police. It's always going up the chain to the highest level and then down to the citizen level for the people who advocate for it.
You got the same thing that exists in black municipalities, too. You got the same thing that exists in black municipalities. In St. Louis, you got these judges that will let these criminals go that have been convicted on gun crimes. They let them go. Then you have a city council, a city automatic board, as they call them here. The drug dealer that was shot by Stockley, they done a resolution on him, honoring him. Well, why would you do a resolution honoring a drug dealer, a heroin dealer?
Okay, but
them black folks
is
doing that.
Okay,
yeah,
but my question is,
what
was the circumstances
the
in this case?
The people who hold the system of power against the people who are dealing with it, I think we're coming to a false equivalence and basically running away from the conversation. Yes, there are some.
Well,
black
I can name you. I can name you.
No, man. Hold on, man.
I can name you time after time after time.
Go ahead now.
Hold on.
No, let Nas talk, Mr. Pianke, then to you, sir. Okay, Nas,
yes,
then
like,
Pianke. Okay, come on, Mr. Nas.
Right, if you go down to D.C. in that wealthy area, that black enclave that everybody always brags about, they have some of the highest police shootings in America, and that's a mostly black police force. So, yes, if you start talking about wealthy black folks, yes, they think more in terms with conservative America and middle America. So they think in those same terms. But when you hear somebody like Pianke say something like, yeah, they letting these drug dealers out, you're like, dude, that's not even serious. Like, you can find cases
that
where that happened.
I didn't say they was letting drug dealers out.
For the most part, people are getting more time than actually would be recommended. And now people are looking at changing the sentencing structure. The whole mandatory minimum structure actually ruined how people could adjudicate things, because now the judge doesn't have any leniency, and he just has to bang it on the mandatory minimum, what it says, instead of using his own discretion and saying, okay, this kid, this is a first-time offender, this wasn't that big of a deal, I can figure out a way for probation or a few months for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
No, he has to throw him in there with the hardened criminals, and now what are you doing?
Right.
You're creating more hardened criminals when they get out. Now the neighborhood is even more unsafe. So, yeah,
well,
yes,
you got white women.
All screwed up.
You got white women in Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, where you have the highest rate of incarceration of women. These white women that is getting tremendous time. First time, never have been an offender before, getting 20 years, first sentence.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about that.
Okay.
Wrong is wrong.
Just
but
north of Ferguson, you got the black enclave that they don't stand for. They are very hard on you come in that city, you come in that area, that part of Hazelwood, you're going to have some problems because they go after you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But still, ladies and gentlemen, you know, keeping it focused here for our listeners, please give us a call here at 646-564-9630. Please join in on a conversation on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight. I'm your host and executive producer, Shabaka Sankara, along with our producer and co-host, the one and only man, Dr. D. And tonight's subject is Trump versus Kaepernick. We're talking about the 45th president's derogatory comments about those who are not standing for the national anthem at the football games, and also stating that these players should be fired for disrespecting the flag. But the part that really kills me is that I must say is that these police officers swear to go up here and support the flag and go up there to get equal protection under the law, but yet though we still have these questionable killings of our black men, and then these black men athletes as men should stand in solidarity against this, such as what John Carlos and Thomas Smith did down in the 1968 Olympics. Now I'm seeing these guys today on their knees with their hand over their hearts, where they should be standing up as men with a black glove and with a clenched fist in the same manner. Then also too, ladies and gentlemen, let's look at the great sacrifice that the heavyweight champion had made 50 years ago for protest and social injustice against his people. He was in his prime. He sacrificed.
That is not true. Muhammad Ali was not. Muhammad, the judge found that he had a right to reject being drafted because of his religious conviction. It was not about social justice.
Objective.
Oh,
okay,
my goodness.
Okay, sir.
Come on.
Okay, hold
yeah, come
on. Sir. Come on. I can quote the man word for word what he said. Okay. He says,
read
man,
the court case while he was in court.
Okay, in 1971, the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, overturned his conviction because he was a conscientious objector to the war in Vietnam. Not to mention the fact the reason why the man was persecuted in the first place, as he had said it before he became champion, that he went to the draft board and was declared incompetent for whatever as they call it, that the military didn't even want him. But as soon as he become champion, he's moved all the way up to 1A. And I'm going to tell you why they did that. They did that there to put that man there, to shut him up, to put him on the front lines to be killed. That's what they did that for.
Well, why did I get deferred? Why did I get deferred?
Okay, why did you? Enlighten us.
No, why did I get deferred?
Okay.
Muhammad Ali's trial was about his religious conviction. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well,
yeah,
no,
right.
You,
that white America had hated.
You can say.
Read the transcripts of the trial, Nodge. All that other stuff is hypothetical.
Yeah, we're doing all this talking around. No, it ain't hypothetical. This is. Ain't no Viet Cong ever called me nigga. Like, this is him understanding
what he's
dealing
with. Ain't no Viet Cong
never
bombed my church. Ain't no Viet Cong never raped my woman.
Right. Him winning the case based on religious conviction. Yeah, Bianchi's right. That is what the case stated. But
and another thing. Hang on for a second.
Because when asked why he wouldn't,
he didn't say in the court that he's not. Didn't want to join because ain't no Viet Cong ever called me nigga. He said because it was his religious conviction. Yes, that
the thing about the Viet Cong never calling him a nigga
is nowhere in the transcripts.
Right, because why would he say that in court? In court, of course, he'd go figure out.
Well, if he meant it, he would have said it.
To do what his law team wanted him to do.
Okay,
well,
let
no,
Nash talk
it,
now, Bianca. Come on, Nash.
Hold on, Sabatia. Giving him cover. Not only did he mean it, because he lost 2 years of his boxing career because they revoked his license and wouldn't allow him to actually
practice his trade. He had to face the consequences. Boxing license, and they deprived that man
exactly.
of his right to
so
make his
that
living.
That's what they did. Yeah. I mean, if you're willing to argue this, ain't no.
Well, hell, what happens when you make those political statements, and Sabaka, I know you're looking for somebody to help you. And Nodge comes along, but when you make these political statements, when you make those political statements, you got to be prepared to face the consequences.
Well, you made a bad argument that nobody else would make. Like, that's a stupid argument.
Paul Robeson, he had to face the consequences. Rosa Parks, she had to face the consequences. Your 1968 Sprinters, not only Tommy Smith and Carlos, I can't think of his last name.
Peter
Norman.
Carlos and Tommy Smith.
Peter Norman, the Australian. He was white when he went back to Australia. He had to face the consequences.
Okay, well,
our concern is for us to stay focused on them for dealing with that. No, you can't say. Well, legally in court, he said this. Like, get out of here with that. It's a BS argument.
Peter Norman, nobody never mentions anything about him. He also supported that, too, and had to face the consequences.
There's a book on him in the documentary.
When you hear narratives just like Shabaka, Shabaka ain't mentioned no Peter Norman. You hear many others talking about because they want to put emphasis. Wait a minute. Let me say this.
Go ahead, just like you have
Representative Franks here in the city of St. Louis, a state representative who is out there in front on this protest. He said he wants whites to be involved too. You got 85% of the people laying on the ground in this peaceful protest are whites.
They're probably
Wait, excuse me. Hold on.
Okay, gentlemen, hold on.
Now, I don't know where you got this. The majority of people are on the ground are white. You know what I mean? I don't know what
you want
me
to tell you where
TV.
I got this from.
No, wait a minute. You asked me.
You don't know where I got it from. I'm going to tell you where I got it from. It's going to take two words, three words. I live here.
You know what? You live there.
Yeah, I live here. It's not credible when you say 85%, man. You just pulled that number out of your ass.
No, when you look at the people laying on the ground, Nodge, the vast majority of them.
Come on, man.
You count 180. If you count 185 of them, is gonna be white.
You know what? No. The whole thing is,
man, them is crisis actors.
No.
Well, then the blacks are actors too.
No, hold on. The whole thing is. All right, listen here, y'all. Now, listen. Only because that's all you see is the white people down there. You don't see the blacks. See?
What do you mean you don't see them?
That's why you live there.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you don't see them? When you go in the Central West End there or Euclid and Pershing, those are white. And blacks. Well, do you know what Euclid in Persian is in the Central West End?
So that's how I know it's not true.
Do you know what a Galleria is? Do you know what Chesterfield Mall is and the demographics in Chesterfield Mall?
Do you know what Camden is? Camden, New Jersey is? You know what Philadelphia is?
Hell no, I don't know nothing about no Camden, New Jersey. I don't want to.
All right then. All right then. So don't tell me about nothing. So I'm going to tell you.
So don't be telling me about who ain't laying on the ground and you someplace in New Jersey.
I'm telling you. You know what I mean? Because see, you got that.
What are you telling me? No, wait a minute. Don't walk away from that. What are you telling me?
Right. What I'm telling you is that these little house nigger people out here and these little crackers out here, they fake.
Thank you, man, Dr. D. They jumping on the damn bandwagon
just because they make themselves look good. Man, when it comes ain't none of those bastards going to do shit for you. None.
Who is these D's? Well, here's
the
point.
Thank you, man, Dr. D.
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Colin Kaepernick is out of his job. George G.M. James, he was out of a job. At Howard University.
So Paul Robeson.
Where did black folks come
baby.
And help this man
who
out? When John G.
Who
Jackson died, when John G. Jackson died, they had to have a collection in order to bury
the
man.
Baby.
So where y'all at?
Yeah, that breaks my fucking heart.
And then you're talking about you want to have your own separate community. Shit.
Yeah, about,
ain't nobody
about,
amongst you got that type of skills to
shot.
Do that.
How about that little kid get getting killed and shot and then people
right.
lose their family? You know, what about
how many of these kids are getting ran over by these deranged black drivers that's running over these kids that's crossing the street?
Not more cops are killing by blacks.
Running over women. Look, women, black women trying to cross the street. They hitting them and severing their bodies. Severing them in two.
Okay, that is the right. You are right about that. That is tragic. But still, just like what Mad Dr. D is saying, what Naj is saying, what I am saying is that we as a people are in a state of emergency surge because this damn system is systematically killing us. You see what I mean? The days of sitting at a lunch counter and begging for a cup of coffee and scratching our asses when it don't itch and grinning when ain't a fucking thing is funny. Those days are over.
Shabaka. All black folks don't feel that way.
Okay, well, based on
what did Bill Clinton say when people was asking him about his three strikes and you're out? He said elderly blacks was coming to him and wanting to see something done.
Okay, well, see, that's just it, though. The mindset. You see, that's that shit about false we see. You see, this is why we got to take. This is why. Okay, hold on. Let me say this here, gentlemen. Then we're going to go to Mad Dr. D. Then we're going to go to
Wake somebody
Nas,
else up. Bring them on, too. You got Nas, this guy, and somebody asleep. Bring somebody else on. I want them all.
All you got to do is get on the telephone, man, call up every cat and have them call
6-4-6-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6-4-6
No. Hey, man, we appreciate you calling in, but
moving.
I had to say, Mr. Bianchi, I'm just going to tell you straight up. For Trump, man, I grew up in South Central L.A. You know the dump, you know, you think of the palm trees, man, you think of the movie and Hollywood and all that, man, but take your ass out of Adams Boulevard, man. Go out there in Wilshire Division. Go out there in 72nd Division and see how the LAPD would treat your black ass. Now, there's an old saying that never apologize for how you honestly feel. This is what white America did for Trump, and this is what Trump is doing. He is expressing how he exactly feel, okay? Great, beautiful, but I'm
Chewbacca,
not going to
say that
unless
I'm not being funny. Are you married? Okay,
no,
now
I'm
listen at this.
Sir.
I'm a married man. His tax reform, if it passes, will put an extra $12,700 in my pocket. In the form of tax exempt. Wait a minute. Who y'all let me? Are you married, Mr. D?
I can't talk.
Are you married, Mr.
D? And also, too, let me tell you something about mad Dr. D.
Well, then, if it goes through, you will have. Now, here's the thing. If you don't want it, on your tax return, you got a right to check off and donate that to somebody else if you don't want it yourself.
Yeah, but
you know what? Hold on. Let me interject up for this. Time out. Hold on. Okay, hold on now. Let me say this here.
That doesn't exist. I've looked at the proposal for his tax reform. It has nothing in there for married couples for no damn $12,000 exemption.
It's going to increase
the
exemption. It's going to double the exemption. Notch.
As spoken by Gary Cohen on live TV the other day was $1,000 families. Like that's the most.
Well, then if you don't want if it's $500, he can give it away.
Okay, but that's a huge.
I'm keeping mine.
$12,000, $1,000. You just made up something, man. That's not
I didn't make up nothing. In order to prevent arguing with you, no matter how much it is,
no.
I'm keeping mine.
Mr. D can pass his on. Mr. Bianchi.
Okay.
I'm gonna just tell you something that's gonna blow your mind. Let me say this here. Hold on, gentlemen. Please let me say this here. Has a daughter. Okay, hold on, Bianchi. Mad Dr. D has a daughter that holds a PhD degree. You see what I mean? You see, yeah.
That's
Mad
good
Dr.
for
D
her.
Has a daughter
what does that have to do with a PhD degree? What did that have to do about the tax reform?
Okay, but you see, but with the topic that we're on, Mr. Bianchi, it's not about going to tax reform. It's going on about how this society here is systematically killing us, and all we got, brother, is us to save us. But however, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a part two to this subject. It's because we are out of time.
What
are
you getting ready to go out?
Guests.
What
yes,
you
sir,
run a half-hour program? Man, you got to put some money
sir,
in the slot.
Is-
You
okay,
know,
sir,
well,
why don't
you donate for us?
Mr. Dow,
I got $3,000. Why don't you donate for our cause so we can't do some more time?
Right.
Are you a tax exempt entity? Are you a tax exempt entity so I can write it off against my taxes?
Boy, love it. Piss on our heads and tell us this rain. Ladies and gentlemen, we love you.
First of all, I'm a disabled vet. You know what I mean? I don't pay taxes.
And yes, sir.
I got taxes.
You ain't got no reason to be hollering.
I got a whole lot to holler. You know what I mean? Because I put my ass on the line. You know what I mean? For me, I had to fight these bastards out here so I don't get what I'm supposed to have. So you don't tell me a motherfucking thing about my money and what I got to do with it. You know what I mean? Because, you know what I mean? Because you sitting up in there scratching your ass.
The IRS is
going to
get you, Mr. D. Dr. D.
$1,000 that you got right there that you're going to have to kick some ass to get. See, I had to fight for mine. Anybody going to give me nothing. And if somebody gives you something, you need to question it.
Just like when you had the riots, out there in Los Angeles, the people
Were you there? Were you there?
The people that done the riots was not the benefits of the spoils. It was those who stayed home and watched the rioters when time come out to give out the spoils and jobs and scholarships and everything. The rioters didn't get it.
Those
are the consequences. Those are consequences you got to pay. John Henry Clark said that. John Henry Clark said that.
What he said and what you talk is one of the things. We were there.
Yeah,
you know
yeah, I was
first
there,
of all,
Bianchi,
they raised that hell for nothing.
1992, I was there. Should say, and
I'm not
that's
saying
why
you wasn't
was
there.
The,
I'm saying what he said is the people. I think Amos Wilson said that too. The people
man,
that
you,
done the riot was not
I
the
know,
ones
I know
that
you,
benefited.
I know you're a Trump supporter.
Look at Condoleezza Rice. Look at Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice,
people said about her family is that if you had to wait on them to make changes, changes would never come. But Condoleezza Rice's family benefited heavily from those actions. That's the way it goes.
Condoleezza Rice's family's benefit from the 1992 riots. Enlighten me on that. Now,
no, I said the Civil Rights Movement.
That.
I said the
Civil
Rights Movement in Birmingham, in Alabama.
Okay, but hold on, brother. How are we going from Los Angeles to Birmingham? Now, another thing. First, I'm going to talk about L.A.,
right.
Then I'm going to talk about Birmingham.
You've been talking about the system of white supremacy, so is it located just in one system, city?
No, it's all over the motherfucker, man.
There you go.
Yeah.
to you. Switching countries.
Watch
so
out,
fast.
Take time,
you know,
to
why?
Holler at me instead of talking over each other. Come on, you got plenty of time.
First of all,
we out of time, Mr. Bianchi.
You don't have your
go
first
ahead,
of
man,
all,
Dr.
second
D.
of all, and third of all. What's next?
You know,
come on, man, Dr. D.
How about Cannonball? If we sit around here and we can't have a decent conversation, right, by separating each other. You know,
we were
you know,
having
and
a decent conversation. We were talking about Trump and Kaepernick.
We're running this show. We're running the show, and you know, you invited guests. So what I'm trying to tell you is your appointment, your point is well taken, you know. And we pay. I mean, and I'm not mad about anything you had to say, you know, because you know this is the whole show. This show is all about controversy. So what you got to say, say it, and say it well, you know.
Exactly.
But make sure. Because right now we just have like a little, like a big session. But the truth of it is, you know, so there's certain things, you know, make sure we get a little facts a little guy together. The facts matter.
Right,
see, all this, all about what the news said, and that guy said, he said. If you wasn't there, then, you know what I mean, on certain issues, you know what I mean?
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave. I was here when this past summer, when in Ferguson, the mayor election,
right.
Blacks would not come out and vote out the white mayor that was been in Ferguson for a long time, even through and up to the time Mike Brown got killed. Blacks let him stay in there.
Voter
whose fault is that?
That's just voter. Okay, it's not the blacks, man. It's because we've been sold
it's not
the
blacks.
Goods, man.
For the last
50 years, and ain't shit changed for us, Mr. Pianca. Come on, man. How many times
it
you got to bang your head against the wall?
How is it
somebody's
Columbus' fault?
Saturday.
Columbus ain't had nothing
Columbus
to do keep them people from going voting.
I didn't say nothing about Columbus. I did not say nothing about no drunk-ass, misguided Columbus who was a filthy-ass savage that brought nothing but death, disease, and destruction.
He didn't have nothing to do with keeping them black folks from going out voting. Anyway, man, go on. I'll talk to you next time. I really enjoy your show, Shabak. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, bro. Be here Sunday. Next Sunday.
We're going to have to sit down. I'm going to have to break out. I'm going to have to break out a bottle of Ripple.
You know, as a matter of fact, it sounds like you're in your third bottle now.
Yeah, you're right. It's in there chilling.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll see you guys later, man.
Okay, man.
All right,
Mr. Bianchi,
it's always a pleasure.
Be careful.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Okay, thank you, Mr. Bianchi. Okay, man, Dr. D, we winded it down. We had a very, very dynamic show tonight. I appreciate your input. Okay, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and please listen to our playback. This is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Our air date today is October the 1st, 2017. I'm your host, Shabaka Sankara, along with our co-host, the man, Dr. D, who is also our producer, and I'm the executive producer. And we're going to bid you a good night from Olympia, Washington, and I'll give you a call later on, man, Dr. D. Take care. Mm-hmm.